Okay. Welcome to the Endless Possibilities podcast. My name is Eva, and this is episode 42. And today we have a very, very special guest on, and I'm very happy to introduce Colette Davy. And I just want to share a little bit about how Colette came to be a guest on the podcast. So about 3 years ago, a dear friend of mine introduced me to Colette's Instagram channel, where she shared about her awakening story. And at that time, I was experiencing the shift into Brahman. So it was very interesting for me because she was talking about her shift into Brahman, how it occurred for her, what she did to get there. So it was very, very helpful and very interesting. And I just really loved her natural and authentic way of sharing her experience. So it was very helpful. Thank you. And
Thank you.
about a month ago, Colette gave a talk in a small in a group, and I gave a talk there and a healing like 2 months before. And one of the group members is also a listener, so a listener of our podcast, and she reached out and she said, "Oh, there was this really, really amazing young woman giving a talk about her awakening story. And she would be a great guest for the podcast." And then she said it was Colette. And then I remembered, oh yeah, I was following her for a while. So I reached out and she's here today. And yeah, listening to the talk she gave about a month ago, a lot has unfolded from that time from 3 years ago. It's really, really amazing. Yeah, and I can't wait for her to share her story and how her awakening has unfolded and what has unfolded afterwards. So very excited to have her on. Hello, Colette.
Hi. Thank you
Hi.
so much for
Yeah.
having me on. It's a honor.
Yeah. It's
Thank you.
so
So,
nice, and I can't wait for you to share your awakening story. And so I think the internet is stable now. We had a few issues, but I think it's working. So perfect. Would you just start with sharing your amazing story and then, yeah, we just go from there.
All right. Okay, I'll start with like the earliest that I can remember. I did mention this in the other talk that you saw, but so I was basically raised I was raised by my mom and dad, but my dad was into Zen Buddhism and still is. And he basically taught my sister and I, my younger sister and I, to meditate from a very, very, very young age. So we were meditating from around the age of 3. Every single day, twice a day, without fail. We had to, even if we were going to be late for school, there was no getting out of meditation. So yeah, that there's that. And then my dad would also talk about what he called enlightenment, right? But obviously I'm a kid and I don't know what any of this is, but sometimes like he'd tell me about it, and he said like enlightenment is when your ego goes away. And I'm like, oh, what's an ego? And he's like, oh, it's the thing that makes you kind of like think you're separate from everything else. Like you think you're you, and I think I'm me, and then that's an ego. And when you get enlightened, the ego dies. And it's like these concepts were not graspable by a child, but I used to still have discussions with him about it. And he would ask me things like, "Hey, do you think one day when you're enlightened, do you think you're still going to want to go to school?" And I would give it some thought, and I'd be like, "Yes or no," you know, whatever. So that was the introduction to enlightenment and meditation. And we kind of spoke sporadically about enlightenment throughout my teenage years and stuff. And when I turned around, firstly, I'd always been like a very empathetic child, a very distressed, empathetic, sensitive, never really could like stick friends because I always got kind of hurt by them. You know, kids are mean. So yeah, childhood was kind of weird, and I always kind of felt out of place and like I didn't belong and something was wrong. And then when I was about 14 or 15, I remember reading, I was on a family vacation and I read one of my dad's books called A Short History of Nearly Everything. I think it's by Bill of the universe and the nature of reality, but not in like a non-dual or a spiritual sense, just in like a physics chemistry, biology since. And I read this, and that was the first time I felt completely overwhelmed and terrified, because I was holding this book that called itself A Short History of Nearly Everything. But I could palpably feel that what was being conveyed in the book was not the full truth of what this is. So this was at about age 14, 15. Then I started to get these like existential, get very scared. I couldn't like look up at the stars at night because it was too scary, knowing that there was something about the nature of reality that nobody knows. And I didn't know how to put it into words, but it became very distressing. So I kind of avoided the stuff that kind of drew me in the most. The things that drew me in the most were like the cosmic nature of reality and reading articles on that sort of thing. But I would avoid them like the plague, because I didn't want to be reminded of this, like the thing that I didn't know. So then I remember when I was 15, 14 or 15, I was lying in the back of a pickup truck, and I was looking up, and then I was contemplating this thing that I didn't know, and the distress that I felt by it. And then suddenly I had this moment where I just knew that everything was infinite. And I didn't know how to explain it. I went to my dad and I said, everything's infinite. And he said, what? And he was very like confused, and I was like, I don't know how I know it, I just know it. But anyway, so that was like my first ever spiritual experience. Then obviously my teenagers just kind of became normal teenagers. You go through, things, you go through breakups or whatever. And at the age of around 20, maybe 23 or something, I went through a terrible, terrible breakup. And I suffered so tremendously that I had to kind of embark on a quest for enlightenment. Because my dad had told me throughout my whole childhood, like, hey, enlightenment is the end of suffering. People who get enlightened don't suffer. So that was kind of like, okay, I can try get this thing, and I can try stop suffering because I'm suffering so badly. And so I started to listen to non-duality videos. So I started to listen to the big non-dual guys, Adyashanti, Rupert Spira, a few spiritual ones, Muji, Eckhart Tolle. And I would just listen to them on repeat throughout the day. Like, I would listen to every single video they put out, just to like keep myself alive through this suffering, this immense, immense suffering from this breakup. In hindsight, like, I feel like I had invested my entire self in this person, and then they left. So when they left, when he left, it felt like my whole soul had just been ripped out of my body. So it was very severe suffering. And basically what happened then was, slowly amidst this grief, my non-dual practice started to take form. But it was very interesting, because I'd be crying every day over the grief of the loss of my relationship, but yet my senses, strange things started to happen. My head started to feel very big. I remember lying down at night, like kind of just crying myself to sleep, but my head like felt like the size of the universe. Because I had started to do non-dual practices at this time. As a result of listening to the videos, you kind of just begin to adopt what they're saying, or begin to like practice the things that they're suggesting. And so my experience began to be very cosmic. And it's just strange, because I was holding something that was so deeply upsetting, but I was also holding this, or rather, this was holding me, this cosmic thing. And I remember one night, this was a few months after the breakup, but I was still really going through it. I remember one night I sat down on my bed and I looked for myself, and I couldn't find myself in the room. And I phoned my dad in a panic, and I said, "Dad, I'm so scared. I can't find myself." And luckily, he, like, kind of exposed to Zen, just said, Hey, you're okay. You know, these things happen in monasteries, they see it all the time. You know, people get a fright when these things start to dissipate because obviously my dad had been aware of my search for enlightenment in that time. So there was that. And then what I started to do was I started to play with like perceptual practices. So I noticed how I had like I believed I was perceiving from my eyes.
Just one
And
question. Just one question. Did this
I'm sure.
experience, yeah, did this experience stay, or was it there for a while? The one where
So
you didn't find yourself in the room?
I don't think this that self ever came back. Yeah, after that, and I don't even know when it disappeared because there was just a moment in the room where I was looking for myself. I was like, oh yeah, that thing, where is it? Let me check if it's here. And I couldn't find it. And then from then on, every time I looked, I still couldn't find it. And I just slowly got acquainted to not being able to find it. But then what I noticed was even though I couldn't find it, I could still feel like I'm perceiving from here. Not that there was an eye that was perceiving, but rather that experience was being funneled through the vision. So I thought, okay, that means that I still kind of, there's a belief still or felt sense that I'm still separate because I'd heard like enlightened people talk about how you kind of just get immersed in it. You don't see us, you don't think that you're seeing from here or like hearing from your ears, like sounds hear themselves, sights see themselves and stuff like that. So from hearing that, I started to adapt to certain practices. I started to, for example, like close my eyes and pretend that I'm looking from like over here or like I'm hearing a sound from way far away so that I could shift the location or like the perceived location from the eyes and the ears. Because yeah, I kind of realized that I established there was a oneness, right? I could perceive that everything is made of one thing. It's all united. We're all one. However, it felt almost like a bubble. It felt like an orb. And that I kind of intuited from that the formless nature of reality had not quite been grasped. And so after doing these practices for a while, on and off for a few months, I also came upon Frank Yang, who actually ended up paving the biggest way for one of my biggest enlightenment shifts. I had taken Rupert Spira's teachings and Ajahn Chah's teachings to a type of threshold that I couldn't feel like I could break through because they weren't talking directly about this kind of location in the head. And when I came upon Frank Yang's material, I was like, oh my God, this guy is talking about what I'm feeling. Like he's talking about this location or like feeling like experience is being channeled through the head. So I started watching his videos and he recommended a practice of dissolving solidity in the head. So you go in there with your awareness and you like trace it around. And in essence, you're basically trying to tell your mind that everything you're seeing is not you. That's kind of the practice of Vipassana, if you had to put it into words. You're trying to like, hey, look, I'm not here. I can see it. I'm not here. I'm not here. This is all empty. So I started doing that on and off. And then one night I sat down for meditation. It was just going to be a regular meditation, but I also felt like there was, you know, sometimes when you have a meditation, you know that there's a spiritual pull of some kind, like something is bringing you there. So I didn't really expect anything, but I put on one of my favorite videos of Frank Yang at the time, and I started meditating. And then what happened was very strange. Many practices started to come as if the closing of a chapter. I started bringing in everything that I had ever done, all at the same time. So I was doing probably like between five and seven practices simultaneously. And then simultaneously, the watcher was also here because we go through these stages where we get to like a watcher or a non-dual awareness that is aware of everything. So I had all these practices going. I was watching behind the eyes. I was checking my thoughts. I was discarding beliefs. Beliefs come like, oh, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen in this meditation? Oh, what, blah, 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 blah. The mind chatters on and on. Plus another couple of practices and this awareness. And then at some point, the location behind the eyes, when I was watching it, something slipped out. And it just felt like the thing that had been watching my life, just it either disappeared completely or it merged into everything else, and it disappeared. So initially in the body, what that felt like was a massive inertia. Even right now, like recalling it, I can feel it in my body. I got pulled back into my chair, like almost like, that astronaut training. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know. But there's such like resilience that one gets through the non-dual practices that no matter what happens to the body, you kind of stay the course. So I stayed the course and I just kept doing what I was doing and letting go. And then I realized the thing that was inside as Colette, the thing that even was aware, the thing that called itself unity, everything, all the spiritual realizations, so it just everything at the same time gone. Just like completely annihilated. And then I remember feeling like it was like just this brilliant, bright wasteland, and my body was so heavy. And I remember trying to get off the chair that I'd been sitting on, and my feet, I had to like walk one by one by one. So that was the biggest, and in my experience, the final perceptive non-dual or enlightened shift.
So the Brahman shift, right? That we would talk about the Brahman shift. Amazing.
And I remember reading something about like Adyashanti's awakening and his no self, and he had also like gotten up from the couch and he'd been like, oh, something's different. And he realized he'd left his self on the couch or whatever when he'd been sitting down. He just had it in this experience, and it kind of reminded me a bit of that. And I also heard him talking about like when he took his steps, it felt like taking his first steps. And I very much felt that way. I felt like my body had been almost reset to factory settings. It like didn't know how to human it. I didn't, and I had no idea what was going on at the time. So then what followed was insane Kundalini release with this realization. I wasn't able to sleep for weeks. I could only sleep for like maybe 2 to 3 hours a night. And I had so much energy in the body that I would have to go out running at 2 in the morning. I would go run. And I remember when I was running, it's like I'm not moving. No matter how much I ran, no matter how far, my body just nothing was moving. The universe was completely dead still. And all the borders had disappeared. So there was no longer a shape or a form. It wasn't even like vastness. Like, I remember I spoke about my head feeling really vast. Even that idea had just gone. Like, this was completely formless, shapeless. I don't even know what the singular experience. So yeah, that's the long that's the long bit.
It was similar for me. So it was like I just called it emptiness because I felt like I wasn't there anymore. And like before there was like an energy flow in everything. And then this energy flow just stopped and everything is just empty in your system and outside. So all this, of course, then one. But yeah, so this is very totally same experience.
Yeah, that was so strange. When I would run, I would feel like experience was like just going through the body, whereas before the body's like this, right? It's like
Exactly.
looking.
Yes. It like it comes to you and then it passes through you. It is so weird.
Exactly. So that happened, and then my husband, now my boyfriend at the time, introduced me to the Law of One or raw material. So that's basically like, for anyone who doesn't know, it's a book written, it's of channeled material with an extraterrestrial entity or a group of extraterrestrial entities called Ra. So the same Ra that incarnated in Egypt as the sun god. So when he introduced this to me, I was like, nah, No way, like this.
Is this like Bashar? Because I've never looked into Ra, but I looked into Bashar. So do you, is that similar? Do you know?
So Bashar is like in the law of one terms, Bashar is a lower density entity. So Bashar has a physical form, whereas Ra is a social memory complex. They're a collection of entities as one, more unified and of a higher density. But yes, similar concept. So then you can connect to them and channel them vocally, and that's how the law of one material was created. It's a transcript of channelings. Of that entity or that group. So, yeah. So basically, he introduced me to that. I read a little bit and I was like, what the hell? This is so mystical. This is not. And also, like, after this enlightenment shift, you have no intention to like decorate your experience. It's beautifully simple. And it's like, you don't really want to make it very spiritual. I don't know. It just didn't resonate at the time. And then eventually I got to talking to somebody else who was a channel as well. And we had a Zoom call, and then he offered to channel Ra, and I was like, oh, because I had mentioned to him that I was kind of into the Law of One a little bit through my husband, and he was like, oh, I could channel Ra. And then I was like, whoa, what? And then, yeah, this part gets very metaphysical, and very strange. So he channels Ra in the Zoom call, and then there's an energy that comes up that I remember feeling during very significant points throughout my awakening. And this is when my ability to read energy started. So in that moment, I could so match the energy signature almost. It's like I say, like every entity has a unique energetic signature. It's almost like their personality, but in energetic form. So as he was channeling Ra, there was a palpable energy, and I recognized this energy from a long time ago when I had felt it when I was awakening. I thought it was like God or something, and then I realized, oh, this is the energy of Ra, and I got confirmation of that during the vocal channel. So after that vocal channel, I decided to start channeling Ra. And I was very new to channeling. I didn't know anything. And through channeling, so much was learned. At the time I was on, because I also diagnosed, oh,
Just
sorry.
one question. One question. How did
Yeah, sure.
you decided this, and how did you start?
I start everything, so it's just very badly. I just sat on my bed and I was like, I want to channel. I was just thinking I would like to connect to this energy, and I want to speak what it says to me. And then I just sat and I just got into a state and I waited. And then out of my mouth came, I am Ra. And although at the time, it was like what I would call now as like a broken channel, because only some words could like come through and others kind of like disappeared. I guess I wasn't strong enough at the time, because I was very new. I just tried this now.
Of
I had
course.
no practice. But somehow I was like, okay, I can channel, I can do
So
this.
cool.
Yeah, I can do this. And what followed were like years of on and off channeling Ra, and what that gave way to was like channeling other entities too. And my experience got so weird now. It's like, how do I come back on my platform? Like, my Instagram is about awakening non-duality. Imagine I come back now and I'm just like, oh, I'm channeling these aliens. Like, people are gonna think I'm crazy. Like, oh, awakening's got her, you know. It's gonna think I've lost it. So coupled with like integrating awakening, which was so like such a shock to my system, now there's this channeling that's also happening and being greeted by entities and everybody wanting to speak to me, or like just communicate with anyone through. I think they're very eager for channels, because there aren't many channels. And
But I mean,
yeah.
when you think about it, waking up at or awakening at such a young age, you know, it's not gonna stop there. It's just like the start, right? I mean, it must be like that, because otherwise,
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think there's just so much more cool stuff coming in now, for younger people. Yeah, so yeah,
Oh,
really
that's true.
amazing.
That's
Yeah.
true. Yeah, I thought I was gonna have like this enlightened life, just like, oh, this peaceful, just chilled out and non-mystical life. And then here come all the entities and everything. I had this experience. So I had been channeling entities on and off, not for the public, because I realized that it has a lot of risks. There are so many nuances to channeling that I don't know if I would have been ready to embark on. If you open a channel to the public, especially if you like open questions, people can ask questions of any vibration. And if it's of a fearful vibration, for example, it's very easy for the channel to get like kind of hijacked by other entities that one doesn't really want in the picture, things like that. So channeling had been a very sacred, private thing, and wasn't done too frequently. But even when I wasn't consciously trying to channel, things work beyond what the law of one calls the veil. So basically, when we incarnate here on Earth, we have this veil of forgetting of ourselves, and that's the reason why we believe we're separate. We basically don't see the bigger plan, right? We just think we're born and we suffer and we die, kind of. But that's not the truth of existence. And that's the kind of information that was being fed to me over the last few years. So through that, I gained a lot of clarity on so that a type of clarity that transcended even the non-dual in a way, because it was like I had the non-dual realization, but now I had this whole other world that I kind of had to, I had to hold together, if that makes sense. So yeah, I was being filled all the time, 24/7 with. And also because my field was so open, like post-awakening, your field is so open, things just come. You're feeling other people's things as well. If my husband and I were like in a room, I could feel tangibly what he's feeling. I could feel if his throat hurt. I can feel if he hurt his wrist. I could feel if he has a stomach ache. I can feel it. It feels like I have a stomach ache, but not quite. And then I know it's like, oh, it's him. So all these weird energetic openings just yielded a lot of knowledge that I can't really put into words. So now, basically, as of recently, what happened was, so I've always been I was diagnosed with ADHD when I was like 15 or 16, and I was prescribed Ritalin, so that's like an ADHD medication, and I was on it almost throughout my entire I've been on it since I was 16, so that's like 11 years or something. Then earlier this year, my husband and I had a discussion, and he suggested that I go off the Ritalin and see how life would be, because I'd also in my past had a lot of crazy addictions and stuff. I'd moved through being an alcoholic, a drug addict, I had a crazy eating disorder, an abusive parent. So it's like I had a whole collection of things that kind of really muddled my life up. And my husband suggested, like, hey, why don't you just release even the Ritalin and see how you would be, without even this substance? Because the Ritalin was kind of like my final safety blanket in a way. It had kept me stable and able to focus on anything that I want, probably help my meditations as well. So then, as per his instruction, I went off Ritalin, and what happened was, over the course of like 3 days, my energetic capacity, my channeling capacity, and my capacity to connect to these other realms started to disappear. And it was very scary. I remember being on the couch and I was sobbing, I was crying to my husband saying, I don't know what I'm going to be without this connection to the spiritual realm. I'd gotten so used to it. I'd gotten so used to like the constant influx. Even when I was going through a hard time, there were entities talking to me, telling me the nature of what I was going through. And when I realized that that door was shutting, I couldn't connect to them anymore. I got extremely distressed.
Why do you think, or what does Ritalin do to open the system so much? And do you
So,
think this is something that's happening for other people as well, or was it in your case like a unique case? Yeah, because that sounds really, really interesting that the drug does that.
yeah, so Ritalin basically it alters dopamine levels in the brain. So I've always been very sensitive to dopamine, like dopamine and serotonin levels. And I've always had to like kind of watch what I take in to my body. Ritalin was actually, funnily enough, quite safe for me. It never created insane symptoms or anything like that. But some like herbal supplements that I would take that altered my dopamine or my serotonin levels would really activate my third eye or like alter my third eye's functioning and send me into like very, very weird states of mind that made me very uncomfortable. So what I know is that Ritalin alters dopamine, and I know that dopamine must have, or like the dopamine levels in my brain must have calibrated in such a way as to facilitate the channeling or the connection. I don't know if it is the case for other people. I've never spoken to somebody who's on Ritalin who's also channeling or also connected. I think it must be very niche.
Probably.
Yeah, but I mean, anybody who listens, welcome to reach out if that's the case. You know, I would love if there were more of us. So yeah, but that was actually like it was the craziest thing because in the days prior, I had just when I still had the spiritual connection, I had just sent out this message. I said, please, whatever happens, let it be in the way that I can be of the most service. Because for months I had been so distressed simply over the fact that I could never post on my Instagram. I could never make a YouTube channel. I could never make a website because there was so much influx all the time. It was so overwhelming that all I could do was like really just sit at home or like go outside, sit at a park because it's like things are so overwhelming. You're being fed with so much cosmic information that you can't even translate. And I had an intuition for a while that it wasn't conducive to sharing, and it was stopping me from sharing an awakening, like, you know, the awakening message. Or not that I like consider myself as one of those like, you know, new age warriors sharing the message of consciousness or anything like that. It's just like I could feel it's keeping me in a place where I'm too overstimulated. So after the grief passed of the channeling and the spiritual connection kind of disappearing, what happened was the like non-dual nature, the like the Brahman nature, as we've spoken about, started to really shine. Just the simple, quiet, silence of being really, really became palpable. Now that my mind and my third eye had finally gotten quiet, I was no longer receiving these constant downloads or information. And life became actually much, much easier in terms of just being with this realization. And then I got, for the first time, like recently, a few months ago, after not being able to share anything on my Instagram for such a long time, I just got this poetry verse that came out of this silence. And I shared it on my Instagram. And I thought, okay, so this is where this is going. I'm finally able to share something. And I felt like something unblocked in me that I could finally talk about enlightenment, talk about awakening in a way that doesn't overwhelm me, or other people. Yeah. And so now what's happening is a slow, very slow, intentional recalibrating of the channeling of the energetic capacity, and of the connection to the spiritual realm. in a way that does not overwhelm my system. And even though going off the Ritalin really put an abrupt end, I realized that it was actually a blessing. It's teaching me that I can cultivate it intentionally. And yeah, so that's where I am now. That
Yeah.
that's my whole life almost.
Wow. I mean, such an amazing story, and I said it before for that you're so young, you've experienced so much in such a short time, and also that you started meditating at such a young age. I mean, I've never met anybody who started meditating at the age of, I don't know, 3 or something you had in the
It
written
definitely helped.
introduction. Yeah. Yeah, and it's very interesting that you said you wanted to be of service, or the best service possible, and then basically this you went off the Ritalin, and then it closed down, and now it's coming back.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Yeah, because it probably opens up then in a way that you're totally capable, and you know it's just you, not influenced by this drug. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it actually made me a lot stronger. Because Ritalin also kind of aggravates the energy body, and so when I went off, I got to know more nuanced elements of my energy body, and got to integrate a lot easier, I feel. Ritalin kept me so like overstimulated that I couldn't really do any work for a long time, and then going off really made it like, okay, I can sit through this now, and I can sift through. Oh, and one thing I forgot to mention in the story was just that throughout this whole period, what's also happening is insane trauma. So when the
No.
non we when the non-dual cap blew off, the experience, the trauma was just going everywhere. So, I moved to Australia to be with my husband, and poor him, because I was just a mess. Every other day, because I was just so it's just weird. Like you always have these traumas, but then awakening just takes away your ability to block them off. So you can't mask and you can't pretend that they're not there. It like dissolved the resistance to such a degree that I had to deal with everything in a really short time. So I was dealing like with a lifetime of childhood trauma just in like the span of a year. And my husband is a Reiki master, so he would do Reiki healing on me. Like, thank God for that, because it really, really helped. And I would do energy healing on myself. And yeah, so all of that plus a bunch of trauma. And now I'm also really good at helping people with trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, on the one hand, it's so hard to go through all of that. But on the other hand, then you totally have the tools and the understanding how it is for other people, and then you can help them, right? So
Exactly.
it's kind of a
Exactly.
blessing in the end, but yeah, it's so hard. And yeah, it's fascinating. It happened to me exactly the same way. So this mechanism just blew up one day, and then just I was faced with everything. Like just everything blew up into my face. Yeah. And then you have to deal with it. So yeah, it was also
No
a very hard
choice.
time. Yeah. But yeah, very great that your husband was able to help. I mean, that's so cool.
Yeah, I'm very, very lucky. He would give me Reiki and he would give me massages, and some massages that he would give me, I would just be crying, because it's so crazy how like you begin to realize that certain traumas are actually stored in a certain place. Like when he would massage my shoulder, I could literally feel the memories that created the tension in my body. So like things like that, like the trauma also really highlighted the role of the body and how things can be held in within the chakras and within like the muscles and areas of the body.
I mean, this is exactly the work I do. So I clear the system from these traumas, and
Awesome.
yeah. So it's great to hear that you can do it with massage as well. I never thought. Yeah, but obviously because it's tension in the body, and you just open up. You just give an impulse that the tension opens up. Yeah, really cool. And then I have a question about the channeling Ra. Or the other entities. So I was always wondering, because I used to love to listen to Bashar, and if I would ask him a question, what it would be. So maybe you looked into that. So it feels like with the Brahman on a consciousness level, this is done, right? So there is nothing more. And I just wonder from their perspective, like how they see that, and if that's really how it is, or if this is just something where we are at the moment and we just can't go any further. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah. So basically the way that like you said, when we attain this realization, it feels very complete. And it feels like the complete upper bound of where our experience can go. And that's the correct intuition. It is, but it's actually not the final picture. Just to refer to the law of one, I'm not like Aaron Abke in the sense like I don't bring up a law of one quote and then refer. This is just something that I remember reading. I don't know if it's in law of one or if it's in the quo material, but they mention that even the fully enlightened being doesn't have a clue about the true nature of reality. And they're not saying that to disparage enlightenment. Enlightenment is the whole goal of the law of one, that hence the law of one. But they do say that even our highest clarity here cannot compare to the clarity that can be reached when this earthly kind of veil is breached. So also what I've realized just from experiences channeling into my higher self, so into the soul, it's not like when you go there, you can't like stay there. So I wouldn't consider this as like something that is attainable for a human being to like to remain there and then like function. I don't see how it would be possible. It's similar to channeling Ra, I would say. There are things that we can't even comprehend. Areas of clarity that aren't even like paved out in our minds to be clarified, if that makes sense. It's very hard to describe in words. So no, like yeah, there's a higher there's definitely a higher clarity, but it's not like something that we should aspire toward. It just is so, you know. And these entities, Ra constantly refers to the nature of creation as a mystery, even to them. So Ra is of a very high density, which means that they've progressed very far along, like the kind of the cosmic evolutionary path. Whereas humans are third density, I think Ra is a sixth density. So there's quite a difference there. And even to Ra, the nature who and Ra understands obviously the law of one. They understand the full non-dual nature of things. And even to them, they consider the nature of reality an infinite mystery. So it's almost as if we can't reach the full clarity. It's almost as if it's designed to be an infinite mystery from here upwards, you know. That's what it seems like to me. It seems like this is shrouded in cosmic mystery, at all levels, no matter how far you progress. So yeah, and that feels resonant too. It does. I would be upset if truth were something that just came down to this. And it's like, oh, I'm done for
Yeah.
the
Oh
rest
my
of
God.
existence. Like
Yeah.
throughout all my next lives, like I'm sorted. It would be a shame. So.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, I thank you. Thank you for sharing. Yes, so definitely the after the human experience, there is like more and more, and it's infinite. And for the human experience, there is then a max capacity probably we can hold. And that's
Yeah.
then. And then the opening happens in other areas, like for you, the channeling, and then probably for other people, maybe nothing else opens up or in other areas. But I haven't really talked to anybody yet who is in Brahman and then has an opening in that area. So I find it so interesting. Yeah.
Thank you.
And is there something you find very profound, Ra shared with you, or you just got the understanding through the channeling that you want to share with us?
Yeah, there have been many, many profound things. Let me just take a moment. I think the thing that's the most transformative for me was realizing what happens beyond this lifetime. Because so much is kind of, we base so much in this life. We base all our successes and all our pain and all, everything in this. And tuning into the higher self, as well as communications from Ra and other entities, really made me realize that this is like a, they shed light on what this is. It's very hard to describe. It's a very small aspect of a very gigantic picture. Like after we die, here, we assume like a lot of traditions and a lot of the consensus is that it's over, or like some even non-dualists believe then we exist as pure awareness. And from when I heard that, I just felt it didn't sit right. I don't know, I was down to believe it, but it didn't really feel that resonant. And then throughout the channeling and all of that experience, I realized that like when you die, or when you tune into your higher self, it's kind of the same experience. You just get this like insane clarity on what this is, and that everything was exactly meticulously planned. And this is only one of a gazillion lifetimes or a gazillion experiences, incarnations, as I like to refer to them as incarnations, all over the universe. And it's like, and it's so difficult to put into words, because it's like it's more of like the perspective shift. They gave me the perspective shift of realizing like, this is not, I'm not in a nucleus. Like I used to feel like, okay, this Earth existence, it's you kind of feel like it's your own, it's kind of a self, a large self, and you don't see beyond. You know, you kind of, people on Earth maintain their like self-centered type thing, and it's not their fault. The veil kind of makes it so, but seeing past the veil puts Earth instantly into perspective. Like, oh my God, this was planned. Like this is planned. This is like meticulously crafted to be exactly what you wanted it to be. You being the thing that's incarnating, so the higher self or the soul or whatever. And it's just, when I heard this, it sounded so woo-woo to me, and I was like, there's no way this is true. It sounds too positive. It's like, it's not, why would I, like, why would this be exactly what I want it to be? That doesn't, you know, what the, anyway, but that is the case. It's absolutely the case. And that is the most valuable thing that they taught me, like that this life is only a small aspect of something huge. And from that realization, I also started to tune into past lives, and I have past life memories, and which validated what they said. I could have visceral memories of literally like whatever I was being on some kind of spacecraft that was leaving a type of planet. And it was so detailed that it's like indisputably most 100% not made up by me. Like I'm not creative at all in that way, and I can't make this stuff up. So yeah, it put so much perspective on this existence. And it's like I realized, oh, it's not to be taken seriously, because my whole life I took this life so seriously. When people would tell me to do something, it's like, okay, this is life or death. Like this is a, and that was the most freeing for me, realizing that this is just it's almost what one could say, like it's for fun. This whole life is almost for fun. Yeah, that was the most important thing, the perspective, and not taking things like seriously. Like I believe that they are, like this is my only life, and this suffering is all that I'm gonna get before I die, and then I merge with nothing, and I'm gone. Like yeah, and just the another thing that was like merging this view with the non-dual view, because there's a lot of reference here to like me, you know, soul, I, what I incarnated as, or what we. So in our like, or in my like field or industry, you could say, people don't go into the spiritual stuff because they're scared if they bring up like the reference of a soul, people are gonna be like, oh, but you just said there's no there's no person, you know, there's no individual. How can there be a soul? And people don't realize that these two paint one picture. It's like you can have You can have other entities, you can have incarnations, you can have a higher self. It just still doesn't mean there's a self.
I mean that's very important, and I thank you for sharing that, because I mean, I guess the non-dual or the most teachings are like, okay, there is no self, there's nothing, there's no suffering, no person, and all of these things. So it's kind of a little denial there. But I love how people talk these days about, okay, we have this human experience and with all possibilities that are there. So all possibilities, all the openings, the channeling, the tapping into different realms, whatever. And also like being here as a human for this incarnation, for that time, and just really having this experience and acknowledging it and not like running away from it. So I love that. Because it just makes this experience more precious. And even though, yeah, the suffering, I mean, you talked about the suffering. I feel like the suffering is there that you actually start looking for more. Because if your life would be like so awesome and you have everything you want, there is no suffering, you would
There's no
just stay
way.
there, right?
Yeah, there's no way. Like, if I hadn't gone through that crazy breakup, I would not have sought enlightenment. Why? Why? If everything's going perfectly, why? Yeah, suffering is a gift. Suffering is a gift. And that's another thing I'm so happy. Like, people say when you get enlightened, you stop suffering. I am so happy that I have not stopped suffering because it means that I have not stopped growing. Every opportunity to suffer is the opportunity to grow, the opportunity to learn, the opportunity to once you see like beyond the veil of this existence in a non-dual way, so in the Brahman way and in the spiritual channeling other entities way, it's like your orientation to suffering just changes. And you just know how to suffer. You know how to suffer. Suffering, like this narrative that somehow got passed down from the Buddha, like no more suffering ever. That makes no sense. Like, the Buddha literally suffered. The Buddha actually had emotions. He was a human being. He wasn't some kind of, like, in one of Thich Nhat Hanh's books, he says the Buddha wasn't made of stone. You know, he was human. And I don't know how this message got like passed down. And now we're like, we use the end of suffering as a way to gauge how far you progress on the awakening path. Because you can also just bypass all your suffering, and that doesn't mean you're far at all. You could just be like, I'm not suffering, everything's perfectly non-dual, but you're fucking closing your eyes to reality, and you're not getting in touch with the human experience. So it's like yes to suffering. And yeah, we should be really grateful for it. We should absolutely be grateful. There's no other way for us to progress.
It's just that the way of perceiving emotions changes. So that was my experience here. So the suffering, if you want to call it like that, it's different. It's there for a short time, and it just leaves the system after a while. And before, it just gets stuck. So it always gets stuck, and this is the problem there. Yeah, but the emotions still stay, of course. You have them. So yeah, I'm very happy that you talk about that as well, because I think it's so important for people to know that the human is still there. So it's just part of the human experience.
Of course.
Really cool. And people probably know or feel it who are listening anyways, but you have such a strong transmission, and I love it. It feels
Well,
really, really
thank you.
nice. Yeah, it's
Thanks.
so funny just listening to you, and then the transmission comes in, and you know, the emptiness gets, or the experience of the total silence in the systems and the emptiness, or whatever you want to call it, it's even more there, you know, when you connect to
Oh,
somebody
thank
who's
you.
there as well. So I just love it. So
Thank you.
it's very beautiful. So people totally will feel that, because they're exposed to transmissions a lot. And so yeah, your
That's
transmission
awesome.
really
That's
nice.
really nice. Thank you. Thanks.
And then I have another question, because I mean, somebody asked that question in the talk you gave, and I really loved your answer. And I just want to ask the question again so that you can give that answer. So basically, the person asked, there is so much suffering in the world, and you know how the world is unfolding at the moment. So everything is very negative. And Yeah, I don't remember exactly the question, but you kind of shared that we chose to come here. So can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think you just shared it in such a beautiful way. And it's so important for so many people because I know a lot of people who are listening, they look out in the world and see what's happening at the moment and they say, oh, but there is like a lot of cruelty and violence and all of that. And how can there be God or you know, all of that at the same time? So yeah, maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Whenever I get this question, it's like I first must always say, like, the things that I say are not meant to be used as a way to cover up grief or cover up a shock response or cover up a natural human empathy toward events that are happening in the world. A lot of people in non-duality kind of use these things as a way to, there's no self. Who cares what's happening? Who cares about war? No one's suffering. I don't, that's the last thing that I want. So just want to make that clear. These reactions that we have to these shocking events are just a sign of our humanity and the sign of our love for, our fellow man, and should not be covered up. But I do believe that it's important that one has a full understanding of what's going on. So you can hold your grief, you can hold your shock, and you can hold your disbelief. But then also, you can also hold an understanding of the nature of what is happening beyond what's happening on Earth. So, in my experience, and I wouldn't have believed it if someone had told me. So you're welcome to not believe me if I say it until you see it for yourself. But we as individuals kind of make the decision to come and incarnate here. So Earth and its qualities are designed in such a way that you forget the nature of what you are. You forget the unity. You forget the fact that you don't exist as something separate. You incarnate into a body. You get a name. And they tell you this is who you are. And they tell you everyone else is someone different. And that's just how this goes. And then when we see these atrocities happening in the world, we neglect to remember the fact that we came here by choice. So, those of us who have chosen difficult paths, myself included, not so much difficult now, but in the past, very difficult. I see now, and I have seen tangibly, palpably that this was a choice. And because of this earthly veil, we don't understand it. We don't understand how could we have chosen to suffer so much? How could we have made the decision to have, loss happen to us? And but the truth of the reality here is that above this veil, everybody is very united. Everybody's very connected. Anybody in your life that has made, I would say, like a difference, or has played a role, has agreed beyond this earthly veil to play that role in your life once you incarnate together. So the people, like the victim and the perpetrator in all situations prior to this incarnation, have agreed that these are the roles that they will play. So we say that this is for the sake of learning, just for lack of better terms. Learning from a higher self perspective or learning from the soul perspective is basically like growth. It's like growth in a cosmic sense. Growth in the attainment of experiences, like what we are, this infinite nature seeks to like experience itself. You often hear that in non-duality, like in a myriad of ways, sometimes as the victim and sometimes as the perpetrator. You could incarnate as a rich man in a palace, or you can incarnate as a homeless man. You could incarnate as a soldier in a war, or a victim walking on the streets of a war-ridden city. These are choices. And when one realizes, when one looks at someone and you realize that that entity, and you can see it, that entity made that choice. It's as though, look, we're not stopping the grieving, we're not stopping the human response, but at least we know the nature behind it. So you came here for learning. Everything you've gone through, you have meticulously crafted. You being your higher self or your soul. It's very hard to describe. It's like a very intelligent entity, but it has no form. It's like, yeah, it's just very intelligent. And it crafted your whole life. And that is you, even right now, in this moment, that is you. It's operating through you. Just like truth or true nature is operating through you, so is this lower level, your higher self, operating through you. And through all these tragic events, the higher selves of every single entity on earth is operating through them, knowing fully well that they have chosen this. Every single moment is a choice. You could say it's like pre-planned, but time doesn't work the same from the higher self perspective. But when filtered through the earthly veil, we perceive time. So yeah, that's the nature in the most like plain way that I could put it, because I don't want to glorify certain things or bypass emotions, but I do want to shed light on the nature and remind everybody that this incarnation, even sitting here right now, has been planned, has been orchestrated so beautifully. Yeah, so that people get a more full picture of what's happening and can hold both.
Yeah. I mean, I love you the way you describe it. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Because yeah, it's such a comforting way, of thinking, okay, there is actually a higher plan or a higher something that looks after me, and this is just, it needs to happen what needs to happen. So yeah, such a beautiful way to describe it. Thank you so much, really.
Thank
Because
you.
I know this will help so many people, So
Yeah.
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 Yeah, very beautiful. And then I have another question. So, you say suffering is a blessing because, it helps you to grow. Do you have a suggestion for people, how they can cope with the suffering? So when it happens, stuff comes up for a while and then it's there for a while. And do you have any practice or anything you could share with them that they can use to just help to go through that in an easier way?
Yeah, it all depends on the stage of like realization as well. I remember when I was suffering from the breakup, and I watched a video by Rupert Spira that said you really have to go into your suffering and feel it fully and kind of move, merge with it. And I remember trying to do that, and I just cried for way longer, and I just was even more upset, and I just wanted to kill myself even more.
Yeah.
And then at some point I was like, well, something's not right. Right. So it's like sometimes advice doesn't always apply to one's situation, especially if what you're feeling is a very, very like egoic centered pain. So that's what definitely what I was feeling. Like a breakup for me, with my personality type at the time, was very egoically centered. It's very different to like moving through the pain of the loss of a family member, or like moving through the pain of what's going on in the world right now. It's yeah, so that kind of pain I'll deal with too. The more egoically centered pain, and then like the pain that comes from a deeper place. So the egoically centered pain, you can kind of feel it. There's a characteristic about that type of pain that pulls you into a story more and more. The more you feel it, the more you feel your personal story. It will refer a lot to what's going to happen to you, or what this means for you, or any of that. Like when I was going through the breakup, I was like, oh, he's never gonna come back to me. What am I gonna do? How am I gonna live? Blah, 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 it goes on. So those are the kind of like signs that that's a more egoic pattern, in which case I really just recommend either a path of self-inquiry. So you could go like that's a more mental way. So you go like, wait, no, but who, you take the story that it's telling you, but like, and you just ask like, who? who is being referred to, you know, but this is kind of it's a very non-dual technique. Okay, so for those who do not resonate with the non-dual technique, I will follow up now in shortly. But for those who resonate with non-dual techniques, I recommend self-inquiry, because that pulled me out of a lot. I would, even though I didn't quite understand non-duality at the time, it would stop the thought loop. I would be like, oh, he's not going to come back to me. And then I'd be like, wait, which me? Which me is he not going to come? And then I would remember all the teachers saying, there's no me. I'd be like, oh, well, that's confusing. And then I'm already out of it in a way. You know, I'm already with it. You're not waiting for a big, whoa, there's no me. Whoa, whoa. You're just putting a pause in the mind's momentum. Like, hey, are you sure? Hey, are you sure there's a me that he's not gonna come back to? Or are you sure there's a me that's gonna, you know, lose this or that? You know, that kind of path. For those who do not resonate with the path of self-inquiry with very egoic trends, just come to your body and work on calming down the nervous system. That's something that I've really also found it's been very beneficial. And observe the thought loop. Because the egoic mechanism really relies on thought. As soon as you cut off thought, it's like it can't really carry on. You can't have an egoic, thoughtless suffering. The mind and the ego, like kind of ego, if you want to, reify it like that, kind of work together. So you drop into your body and you drop out of your mind and you feel that pain only in the body, and you don't keep fueling it with the narrative that. You know,
The
you,
story.
people, because people keep like reigniting it. You know, that happens a lot. It's like, oh, you calm down. You're like, but he's really not coming back. And you start crying again. Yeah. So you want to just calm the fire of the mind, settle down into the body. Then, you know, this is the type of, you know, pain. Maybe you have like trauma. You know, trauma, I would not refer to as an egoic pattern. Or like the distress of what's going on in the world. For me, like the most fundamental thing with these things was not shutting it off. So we have no idea how much we are suppressing. Like, even in this moment, people who listen or are watching are carrying amounts of pain that, you know, they just kind of put on the back end, and they're like, they'll get to it at some point. And it just builds and builds and builds. So with pain that just comes like this, my advice is to just really be there for it. You really take a moment to kind of say to your pain, like, I'm here for you and I'm going to feel you fully. And I'm not going to allow you to just be buried into my body. You know, like when we get pain, how it works is that if we suppress it, it goes into the body. And then eventually, over the years to come, like as you probably know, it becomes an illness, or physical, you know, physical impairment of some kind. So you really want to, when it shows its face, you really want to meet it where it's at, and you don't want to try non-dual it away. You don't want to try spiritual it away. Like, despite all the things that we talk about, I do not recommend, unless it's an egoic pattern. But if it's a true, just honest pain from a trauma that's very deep inside you, I would just really cry it out, and I would just really feel into it. And then, paradoxically, here's what also really helped me. After non-duality, I got taught so much not to delve into the story. But then, when I started experiencing intense trauma from my childhood after awakening, and it was all welling up, it would not go away until I found the memory to which. Like, it correlated. So I would have a very deep pain, and my non-dual mind is going, no, 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 no story, no story, no story. And as soon as I was like, oh, right, I had an abusive parent. It's like, oh, like then you meet like the human on the human level. The human who's suffering right now wants to be honored for what it went through. And this is why it could get so nuanced. You really have to kind of intuit what type of suffering you're going through. Because if you give this to the egoic mechanism, it's going to be like, yeah, I did go through such blah, blah, blah. It's not supposed to feel like that. It's supposed to feel like you're being validated in a way. You're finally meeting your body and understanding why you feel that way. That's kind of more like, why do I feel this way? Oh, right, it's because of this. I feel abandoned, or I feel this, or I remember my parent did this, or and then the last technique that I use, if all else fails, is if I'm experiencing something and I don't know what it is and I'm just really upset and I'm confused about why I'm upset and all that, I just ask myself, like, what is the closest emotion to me right now? And I don't know why that works. I can't explain the mechanism, but if anyone were to try it, I just see it does. It's like you're experiencing so much and your mind is running like crazy, and you just give yourself one word. You allow yourself one word or one phrase, and you connect and you go, like, what is the closest feeling to me right now? And sometimes it comes up and it's like fear, you know? So all of this running around, all of this suffering, all of this distress, oh, fear.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, abandonment, or oh, loneliness. That really helps, because it's like, okay, I now know what I'm dealing with. Yeah, that's the advice I would
Yeah.
give.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a bit long.
No, perfect, very great advice, and I love that you just gave different kind of advices for different purposes. So, yeah, very, very helpful. So thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sure it will be helpful for many listeners. And yeah, I love that you shared that, because this is totally my approach as well. So looking for the emotion. So there is like all these stories on top of it, but there is
Yeah.
like an emotion on the bottom or on the core level, and
Yeah.
clearing. So I just call clearing and healing this emotion, and or feeling through it. What you described is basically releasing it, and then you just lighter because it left the system. And what you said before,
Exactly.
it can be stored in different areas of the body, and by that you're just freeing up your system from like the trauma. Yeah, so
Yeah, exactly.
yeah, really cool.
Exactly.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I would say we come to an end. So first of all, it was such a lovely interview, and I loved
Thank you
everything
so
you
much.
shared, and I'll
Thank
just
you.
really enjoy the way you talk, and it's captivating and it's so natural. And I love that you talk about your experience and how you see things from your perspective. So that's really amazing because there are
Thank
so
you
many
so much.
teachings out there. And yes, you can follow the teachings and what, people said before, and you just rephrase it. But you share it from your experience, and that's so valuable. This is extremely
Thank you.
valuable. Yeah.
Thank you. It's been really nice talking. Thank you for
Yeah.
the invitation. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. And so you said you are offering sessions for people. So do you want to talk a little bit about that? Where can people find you, and what you're offering, and all of that? That would be amazing. Yeah.
Sure. So, I mentioned to Eva right before the talk that I just decided after integrating my awakening and all of the things that I spoke about for the last few years. So, basically, I do sessions. I do one-on-one sessions for now, which might branch into group sessions, depending on demand for that type of thing. But so if you want a session with me, you can just go to my website. It's thatbeyondduality.com. My Instagram is thatbeyondduality. And basically my sessions are just going to be basically what I spoke to you about. So I specialize in duality and awakening in particular, and then also integrating awakening. So those who have had an awakening, I can really offer a lot of useful guidance on how to get kind of back into the world, although we don't always want to get back into the world, but sometimes we seek to become more functional, or we seek to understand what happened. You know, we seek to just integrate and bring it into the body as well. And then, of course, sessions on beyond the veil seeings and beyond the veil insights. So questions that people might have regarding how things work beyond this earthly illusion, how things work after death, channeling. Although I don't actively channel entities for sessions, I do share their guidance, and I do share like personal intuitions and messages if that comes up. So yeah, that's that. And Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I hope to have some sessions. It would be nice.
Yeah, of course, I'm sure you will. You will definitely have some
I
sessions.
would love to talk
Couldn't
to
see
people.
it any other way.
Yeah, I feel like I've just been in like a little, like I told you, I've just been in like a little hut for years, and now it's like, okay, where can I help? Where can I help?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But this is then exactly the right time. You feel it. Okay, now it's the time and you open up and then, people come. This is just what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a
Yeah.
natural unfolding. Yeah.
Yeah. It would be really nice. It's so funny because I'm also very introverted. So it's like, I'm also peaceful if people don't come. It's both. It's like I'm at peace either way. I love helping and I love offering and I love sharing, but I also love being very quiet. So yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, just thank you for the invitation and thank you for anyone who's listened to me talk for such a long time. I don't think I could listen to myself, so thanks.
It was really amazing and captivating and such great information. So thank you so much. It was so lovely to meet you
Thank you
beyond
too.
Instagram and the other YouTube videos. So yeah, amazing. And thank you for being here. And
Thank
yeah,
you.
also thank you for the listeners for listening to this amazing podcast. And yeah, talk
Thank
to
you.
you next time. And thank you, Colette. It was amazing.
Thank
Okay.
you so
Bye,
much.
everybody. Bye bye.
Bye.